Acts chapter 3, you're going to read verse 1 through verse 10. Praise the Lord. Appreciate everything. Appreciate how good you people are to us and all your kindness. And young folks, trust in the Lord to help you even more. Thankful for what the Lord did last night and trust him to help you a little more today, a lot more today. Did you bring any wood with you? Anybody bring any wood? Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to come into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in this meeting, Lord. Thank you for these young people. Thank you, Lord, their willingness to come, be in your house. God, they could be doing other things, Lord. Thank you for the different ones that put forth the effort to help them get here, Lord. God, I pray right now you'd honor these efforts. God, I pray that you would honor their desire to be here, the effort that was put into getting here. God, would you help me, Lord, to preach the message you laid on my heart? God, I pray that it would come across in a fashion, Lord, that touched the heart and draw to you. God, I ask it for your glory. We need your help right now, Lord. Help us in the altar call. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Look again at verse 10. The Bible says, And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Lord, help me here for a few minutes. I'm going to preach on alms to amazement. Alms to amazement. Let me get me one more drink here before I get going. Now, this passage of scripture right here is it's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And I like it. I like to preach from it. And I'd like for the Lord to help you from it today. Now, this old boy here, this lame man that was there, you know, he's out the door of the house of God. You know, he's at the gate of the temple, the beautiful gate there. You know, and the reason he's there to gather alms. It was a high traffic area. There were a lot of people coming and going. You know, you've been in your car and with your parents and or your car, you know, and you know, it's amazing how, you know, folks that need money, they like to gather around them stop signs where there's a lot of traffic. Now, that's kind of what this old boy was doing, is he was right there kind of at the red light where a lot of people would pass by and see his cardboard sign, if you will. They could tell by his clothing and the different things that he was a beggar. You know, and I don't know if he had a tin cup or what he had, but he was there to get money from the people that were passing by. You know, there's a little more to the fact that he was just a beggar. Bible says he was a lame man. You know, he couldn't walk. Bible says here in later on in the passage that it was his feet and his ankle bones that received strength, so therefore he was lame. His legs didn't work right, and the reason he's lame, for whatever reason, probably from birth. You know, but the thing I notice about this is there's a man with a problem at the house of God. You know, he's got an issue. There's something wrong with him, and he's at the Lord's house. You know, for different reasons, he could not go inside to the, you know, inside the gate, but he was still there. You know, and I would say this morning, there's some of you that are in a very similar position as this lame man. You know, you're here today, and I'm thankful that you're here, but you've got a problem that you need help with. You know, there's some of you here, you know, I'm thankful for good parents and good families, and I'm thankful for mine, but you know, there's some of you here, you don't come from that background. You know, you're dealing with the pressure of all the family problems that you've came with. There's some of you here that you've got problems. Some of you here are struggling with sinful things. There's some of you here that really wish you wasn't addicted to things, wish you didn't have this problem, but you have it. And you're here and you need the Lord to help you. You know, there's some of you here, you've got emotional problems. There's some of you that are fighting depression. There's some of you young people, you full of life that you are. You're struggling with difficulties. You know, there may be some of you here that there's things that I couldn't even think of that I could put on the list that you're fighting. You know, maybe some that you ain't young and you need the Lord to help you. You know, this man in this story needed more than anything else was a move of God. He needed the power of the Holy Ghost to move for him that day at the house of God. And young people, I'll tell you right now, that's what you need. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to move in your life. You know, I'm going to talk to you about just simple stuff today. You know, I'm going to trust God to help you. You know, you're here tonight. You're thinking, today, and you're thinking, preacher, I don't want to tell nobody, but I feel like that lame man. I've got a problem. I can't get over it, and I need somebody to help me. Friend, I tell you, the Lord is able to help you with your trouble. Hallelujah. Those of us that lived a little while and been down the road could probably, we could stand up and testify about some of the problems that we went through. Didn't think we could get over it. Had problems. We didn't know if we was going to make it past it. But I'll testify to you, the Lord has brought me through. The Lord has helped me get up from the gate. And young people, I'll tell you, God can help you too. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. There's a few things I'd like to look at this, and I'm going to look at it like an analogy. I'm going to point out some things that was hindering this young man, from getting what he needed while he was at the house of the Lord. You know, the number one thing I see that was a difficulty for him, you know, and this is an analogy. You know, number one was he got there the wrong way. Now, the Bible says in this passage, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. You know, that tells me that there was other people that brought him to the house of God. He didn't come under his own, he didn't come under his own power. For obvious reason, as a lame man, he couldn't walk there. You know, he didn't get to the house of God under his own ability or even, but there's some of you here tonight. You know, you need a move of God in your life and you need the hand of God to minister to you, but you came because somebody sent you or somebody brought you. You need God for yourself. You ain't gonna get a move of God. You ain't gonna get help from your problem trying to hang on to your mom and daddy's coattail or follow around the pastor. You know, I'm thankful for good people that do good things, but you need an experience with God for yourself. It's not good enough to depend on somebody else for your spiritual needs. You need an experience with Jesus Christ for yourself. You're going to have to come to the cross and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he's willing to help you out of your trouble. Hallelujah. I remember growing up Southeast Oklahoma, we was near Falk, you know. I remember a guy from the church there at Falk. He was in his about 20 years old, and I remember him testifying this. And he played the guitar on the platform. You know, brother, we was talking about this last night. He played the guitar on the platform, and he always thought everything was okay. In camp meeting, rolled around, he played the guitar, and they got to shouting around there. And finally, he felt the pressure that he needed to go pray. So he got off his guitar and he went and laid down in the choir mound on the floor there and got to praying. He said the Holy Ghost came to him and let him know. Said, son, you're not saved and you need to be saved for yourself. You know, and he said at 20 years old, I was playing the part the whole time. In reality, I was not born again. I tell you, young people, the thing that's going to help you more than anything else is you need an experience for yourself with Jesus Christ. It's not good enough. I'm thankful for the good people that help us get there, but it's not good enough to depend on them. You need it for yourself. You need to know Jesus for yourself. Hallelujah. Number one, he got there the wrong way. He was dependent on others. Number two, second thing I see about this man that was hindering him was he was there for the wrong reason. He was there for the wrong reason. Now in this story, this man is placed there, high traffic area. A lot of people would come by and feel sorry for him, you know, and they'd drop a few nickels in the pan, you know, the cup for him, or, you know, in his guitar case or whatever he was doing. You know, they saw his condition. They realized if we don't give this guy some money, this guy is probably going to starve to death. So they'd put a little money in it, you know. You know, and the whole purpose of him being at the house of God that day was for financial gain. You know, he was there, so, you know, and he, you know, for what he was doing, that was probably a good place for him to be, you know, trying to get the temporal aspect of it. The thing about that money is after he got in his cup and he counted it and he went and bought his bread and his food and the different things, it would disappear. It wasn't nothing that was going to last. You know, it's kind of the way it is with us sometimes. We come to the house of God just looking, you know, just for the feel good. You know, you may have come and, you know, I'm thankful for good fellowship. I'm thankful for good friends. You know, I'm glad I get to, you know, I get to see my friends and fellowship with them. You know, but I came for more than just the fellowship. You know, I remember reading about Max Lucado. There was a fella came to his church. You know, he told how that he came in there, came to the altar, prayed, and they helped him. He was a beggar, you know, and they helped him get him a house and get him a job. And you know, he came to Max Lucado one day. You know, and he said, "When do we get to do the stuff?" Max Lucado said, "I don't know what you're talking about. You know, when do we get to do the stuff? You know, I've been reading my Bible and I see how that, you know, they heal people from leprosy and they open the blinded. I want to do the stuff." And Max Lucado told him, said, "We believe in all those things and we're thankful that God does those things. But the reason that we're in this thing is to know Jesus better. My chief aim is to get to know him. I want to know Jesus. I want the Holy Ghost because it's going to help me know Jesus better. Hey, I want more sanctification because it'll help me know Jesus better." Hallelujah. He's there for the wrong reason. The house of God was a place of worship. Came for money. I remember, I'll tell you a personal story. I remember I was 18 years old, about 17, 18 years old, and I'd been backslid for 5 or 6 years. Just living, doing what I wanted to do, and one thing that appealed to me a lot, you know, appealed to me and kind of drew me out was rodeo. I had some neighbors owned a rodeo company, and, you know, they offered me a job working in the rodeo company. I worked in the back pens at the rodeo and did different things. I took the flank rope off the bucking bulls and the flanks off the bucking horses and took the ropes off the steers and different things. That was my job, and I helped work in the daytime. And, you know, I chased that lifestyle. You know, that's kind of what I was after. And I remember one time I'd been to the weekend this took place was the weekend of the Broken Bow, Oklahoma, the Broken Bow JC's Rodeo. You know, in one of my jobs, I had a diesel pickup, you know, and I hauled the roping steers to the arena, you know, and I loaded them up, you know. But prior to the rodeo, my dad, his fellowship that he was part of, they had a camp meeting. And my dad was preaching in the morning service, one of the morning services, and they wanted me to go. And so I went with them. And, I loaded up in the car with mom and dad, and I went there, you know, and different things. And I remember one of the night services. My dad had preached that morning. One of the night services, somebody got to singing, you know how it is. You know, Pentecostal church, the Holy Ghost fell in the building while he's singing, and the Lord was moving. You know, and it felt like the Lord was really, you know, dealing with lost people, you know. That's what everybody was, there's people crying, weeping. You know, a message in tongues went out, interpretation came immediately, and that's exactly what it was, you know, surrender to God, come to the altar, you know, all these different things. And I knew the Lord was dealing with me, and, you know, I knew that the Lord was really after me that day. And, you know, I just locked down on that pew. You know, I white-knuckled the back of that old pew, you know. I wasn't going nowhere. I liked the way I was living. I liked what I was doing. I knew that if I could get out of that place, I could go get in my truck and I could go to the rodeo. You know, and I remember in that service, Lord was moving. They were singing, you know, and the preacher got up and was pulling for folks. You know, and I was standing, I was about the third row right here, you know, and I was just kind of, I was locked down on that old pew. My dad was right in beside me. And my dad preached that morning. My dad, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I was lost. My dad elbowed his way around me and got out in the aisle, and he went down the altar. The only first person to go to the altar. You know, and I couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. My dad preached that morning. Why in the world was my dad going to the altar? Well, touched my heart that my dad went to the altar. So I went down there and I put my hand on my dad and I started praying for him. You ever seen anybody do that? You know, I started praying for him. Well, all the preachers in the building, it's a camp meeting, all the preachers, you know, this is the backslid boy of Brother Cooper. You know, it's like a bunch of starving ducks on one June bug. I mean, wham. They knocked me 6 feet off dad, and they wallered me around over here. You know, it was a praying for me, and they was jerking one arm. One was jerking an arm up, and the other one pulling this way, and they got me over, you know, and they was praying for me. They stirred up, man. I'm telling you, they was. And they was so stirred up, they kind of got me stirred up, and I was feeling good, you know. Backslid. You know, I was over here praying, you know, and they wallowed me around and got me punched down up under the altar. You know, people on both sides of it just banging on me on the sides, and I got busy to praying. Woo, you know, I kind of got involved with what was going on. And they got done. I guess they got tired, and they left me alone. I eased my way up, you know, and I got up, shook the, oh, glad you're back in, pounded me on the back. You know, went and got in the car after he was over with, and we went on home. Next day, went and got in my truck, went and hooked the trailer up, loaded up the rope and steers, went to Broken Bow, backed up to the arena, dumped out the steers, went and parked my truck. Then I went to the Copenhagen tent and got my free snuff. Then I went back over to that same old truck where the ice chest always was, and I reached in there and I got the silver can out of the ice chest. And I stood around the circle and talked to the sinners I'd been running with. You know, I got enthused about what was going on in church. I got caught up in the emotion, and a lot of people thought I got help. But really, the only reason I was up there is because my dad going touched my heart, and I got to feeling good about what them preachers was wallowing me around about. I was there for the wrong reason. You know, young people, it's dangerous. It's dangerous for you. You come here, I'm thankful for you that you're here. I'm thankful for the fact that you're around good Christian young people to fellowship with. I'm thankful. But if you're not here for Jesus and to know him better, I'll just tell you, you're here for the wrong reason. I'm thankful for all this good stuff. You know, I'll tell you, the best place to find a spouse is while you're worshiping the Lord with other young people that are worshiping the Lord. And the best place to find fellowship is around other young people that are trying to get to know Jesus. But hey, I'm asking you, what are you here for? Are you here for Jesus? Are you here for the extra stuff, that stuff that ain't going to last? I'm here for Jesus. I want the power of the Holy Ghost to minister in this service and help us. I want to know Jesus better. Hallelujah. He got there the wrong way. He was there for the wrong reason. Number three, he'd been doing the same thing way too long. The Bible says, you read on, he's above, next chapter, he was above 40 years old. You know, and I'm just going to put some numbers out here. The Bible doesn't say necessarily exactly what it was. He was above 40 years old. Let's say he's 45 years old, and he started begging when he was 15. He'd been begging that spot for 30 years. You know, that's kind of the way it is with some of us. Been coming to the house of God for a long time. You know, you've been coming in. You know, you've been around here a long time, and really, you ain't making no progress. Really, you ain't making no ground. You know, you're in the same... Yeah, you've been in the same old spot way too long. You know, it gets easy to do, though, you know. Come on Sunday morning, go to Sunday school. Sunday school gets over, you shake everybody's hand. You go get in your spot for Sunday morning worship, sing the two songs, listen to the preacher preach, go eat on Sunday afternoon, and then go do whatever you do, whether you take a nap or you play video games or whatever you do on Sunday afternoon, come back, you know, listen to the good singing, see the good people of God here, the good preaching, go on home Monday morning, go right back to the same old school, spend 2 days, 3 days at school, come
back on Wednesday night, listen to the same songs, listen to the preaching, you know, shake everybody's hand, go on home for two more days of school. Saturday, do whatever you want to do. Then Sunday, come back and halfway listen to the Sunday school teacher, and halfway worship in the songs, and halfway listen to the preacher. Go home and do whatever you do. Then get in, go come back to church, and halfway listen to the singing, and halfway listen to the hey, how long's it been since you made progress? How long's it been since you got anywhere in your relationship? Hey, you're not going to get the help you need if you're not desirous to go further. Hallelujah. I want more. I want more of him. Oh, come on. Hush on the high. You know, Reader's Digest had a story years ago about SeaWorld in Florida. You know, somehow they pull fresh water from the ocean, you know, and they push the old water back out the ocean. In the process of the water change, you know, the dolphins in the dolphin tank went out with the bad water. You know, it's a big source of income for SeaWorld. At 10 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, at 2 o'clock, and at 4 o'clock, they had a dolphin show. You know, as a lot of people came to it, they'd watch the dolphin flips and dance around and jump through hoops and all the different things. You know, they didn't have the dolphins anymore. You know, they didn't have the dolphins anymore. You know, they're trying to figure out how we're going to do this. Are we going to buy more dolphins and pay to get them trained? All the time they's worried about how much money they was going to lose. You know, somebody came to them, that, you know, the group of fishermen came to them and said, you know, we've got a question to ask you. There's something that we've been noticing out where we've been fishing. Every day, there's a group of dolphins. I don't know, this might be, I mean, you know, we don't know what's going on, but this might be interesting to you. You know, group of dolphins out there where we've been fishing every day, just all of a sudden they'll go to dancing around, jumping up in the air and doing flips, and we was really wondering they might be helpful to y'all, you know. And they got out there and, you know, they got the boat and they went out there where the dolphins were. They said, can you show us the spot? And they took them there, and sure enough, 10 o'clock rolled around and here go the dolphins doing the flips and dancing around, you know, and doing what that noise they make and all the different things. Then they calm down. Sure enough, 12 o'clock, they jump right back into their routine, doing what they'd always done. You know, they got them a big old net and they made a big old circle around them. They gathered them back up and they put them back in the tank that they belonged in. You know, that's a really good illustration for you as young people. You know, it's easy to get hung up going through the motions, doing what you always do, singing when they always sing, listening when they always preach, going to the altar when everybody else is at the altar. Hey, are you going through the motions? Hey, those dolphins had absolute liberty in the Atlantic Ocean. They had absolute liberty to do whatever they wanted to do, and they was hung up in the motions. And young people, that's where some of you are. You have absolute liberty in Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, and you're hung up going through the motions. Let's get further. Let's go deeper. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. That's what some of you in this room need right now, is you need the Lord to do a new thing for you. You need to come by and help you say, Lord, I'm tired of being right here. I want to get further. I'm tired of not getting through to the baptism. I want to go through to the baptism. I'm tired of this besetting sin. I want to press on and get deliverance. I'm tired of not knowing your will. I want to know your will, Lord. Hey, I say, let's get out of the rut. Quit going through the motions and go deeper with God. He got there the wrong way. He was there for the wrong reason. He'd been doing the same old thing way too long. Last thing I want to point out to you about this guy, this is the one that made the most difference. Fourth thing about him, he was at the right place at the right time. Thank you for that amen, Bodie. He was at the right place at the right time. You know, just so, I'll tell you this, I remember I was 15 years old. You know, I like deer hunting. I didn't like killing deer at the time because I hadn't killed none. I hadn't killed a deer, and I was really wanting to. I had friends that killed deer. Some of them had already killed trophies in my part of the world. You know, I hadn't killed one. I was kind of ashamed about that fact. And no offense, if you're 15 and haven't killed a deer, you just keep after it. God will help you. I was really worried about it. There was an old man I knew. C.D. King was his name, and I asked him, I was like, Mr. King, I haven't killed a deer. Can you get, you know, he had deer heads all in the house, and he'd watch Pope and Young deer just for the fun of it. He'd killed so many deer, you know, and I was like, how is it? How can I kill a deer? I hunted hard. I hunted every minute during gun season, bow season, muzzleloader. I hadn't killed one. He looked at, you know, I was expecting him to tell me I needed to go buy a certain camouflage. Back then, there wasn't as many kinds of camouflage as now. You know, I was expecting, you know, real tree, you know, I was expecting I needed a certain type of grunt call. I was expecting I needed a certain type of scent eliminator, or, you know, I was expecting, you know, something, you know, I was expecting him to tell me some of this stuff, you know, that all the marketers make all the money on, you know. And I remember he looked at me, he said, son, the key to killing deer is being in the right place at the right time. You know, and what I did, I went and found me a game trail where there was a lot of deer tracks, and I knew they was going back and forth. And I sat down by that thing. It didn't take me real long. You know, and I shot a 145-pound 9-point. You know, and I thought it was big back then, but now I realize I shouldn't have got it mounted. But anyway, you know, but I killed a deer because I was in the right place, the right time. This old boy sitting at the gate of the house of God. You know, the church at this point, they didn't have any church houses to go to. They didn't, you know, and their custom was at the hour of prayer, all the church would gather there in the courtyard of the temple, and they'd pray together and have church. That's where Peter and John was going. They was going to church. You know, and here's an old boy. He's expecting something temporal, that he could go buy him a piece of bread, you know, maybe a fish, something to drink with by the end of the day. You know, and here come these two preachers. They come walking by at the hour of prayer. He holds that old cup out, you know, and said, can you give me a penny or a nickel? You know, and here's these two old boys. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. See, they'd just been not very far back. They'd been in the upper room, and the power of Pentecost had fell on them, you know, and sure enough, they did not have much money, and it didn't matter if they had much money. They had exactly what that man needed. They had the power of God. They had the power of the Holy Ghost. Peter reached out, took him by the hand, and this day this man went into the temple. You see, before that, because of his ailment, because of his sickness, he could not go in and worship. He could not get in the presence of God. He could not get in there to worship. But this day, God sent the presence of God to where he was on the outside. And young people, I feel like tonight, today, that the Lord has come by to help you. If you're willing to let him help you, you can get out of your rut. You can get saved. If you're not saved, you can get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because you're in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God sent the power of God to him. Praise the Lord. Why don't we all stand? Musicians, could you help me? I'm fixing to quit. Remember several years ago, probably been 10 years ago now, traveling for the school. I was down around Gilbertown, Alabama. A man by the name of Doug Chapman. Some of you might know Brother Doug. Pastors the Assembly of God there in Gilbertown. Took the church, not many people. As he began to work the community, the Lord gave him influence. A lot of the people had backslid out of that church. He was able to win a bunch of them back in. One young lady, she had backslid out of church. There was an old boy from high school. You know, she got to like, and he came to church with her a few times. And the way it is, see, you know, he got her, then he quit church. And he drug her out with him, you know. And after about 2 years, you know, had a little boy, found somebody on the job he liked better, and he divorced her. This woman had a rough go of it. Didn't have the means to make enough money for her family. All these different things. She got this little boy. Here they come back to church. She sees Brother Doug at the store, and he invites her to come back. He knew her family. You know, on a Sunday morning, here she come. Brother Doug preached whatever he preached. You know, I preached his sermon, whatever it was, and here come that mama down the altar. Brother Doug said she prayed the mascara off her eyes. She prayed and cried so much. You know, on that night, there she was. Lord had helped her. She became a faithful member. You know, later on in the summer, her boy, that 12-year-old boy, you know, Lord hadn't really touched him yet. In the service on a Sunday night, the night before they went to Forts Lake Youth Camp, Lord touched him in the altar and he got saved. You know, he laid up there on the floor and cried and cried. Well, they loaded him up on the bus the next day. He hadn't ever been to youth camp before, hadn't ever been around all them good young people like you're in right now. And you know, first night, don't remember who it was preached. I think it may have been Kenny Morris preached. And he got up and he went to the altar because he wanted more of what he got last night. He knelt there, just the first one sitting on the front row, knelt right at the altar. Put his hands up and the Lord touched him, began to move on him. God filled that boy with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Evidence of speaking in other tongues. Laid him out right there on the floor. Everybody else got done praying. He's still praying. They all went to the concession stand, had fun. Had good Christian fellowship, ate all their hot dogs and Frito chili pies, and the bell rung, and here they are, walking through the tabernacle back to the dorms. There he is, laying there on the floor, still talking in tongues. You know, and they gathered him up, went and put him in the bed. When he could talk English, he told Brother Doug, said, "Brother Doug, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight." And Brother Doug said, "Praise the Lord, son." Next night, same thing. Next night, he's laying there on the floor, talking in tongues. Everybody else in the fellowship hall. Eating concessions. They come back through, gather him up, put him in his bed. Every night's the same way. You know, they put him in his bed talking in tongues. They load him up Friday night to go home, put him in the church van. He's talking in tongues. Take him home to a tough environment. It was a lot better. It was tough. Had a daddy didn't care about him. Had a mama that was struggling financially. God gave him what he needed to make it. He went home. You know, they had good services. That boy always got in. The day before school started, Sunday night before school started, he went up there to the altar and God refilled him with the Holy Ghost. And he told Brother Doug, "I got the Holy Ghost again tonight." You know, that next morning he got up and he went to school. Sitting there in class and eighth grade. And the teacher is trying to give them the basics on learning algebra. They had him in Algebra 1 in eighth grade. I couldn't imagine. I had a tough time with it when I was in 10th grade. And he's sitting there, first morning algebra class, he's sitting there listening to the teacher right on the board, watching him right on the board, listening to what he's saying. And he said, all of a sudden, Brother Doug told me, he said, "I started feeling something. So I put my hands down in my pockets. I didn't want to interrupt." He said, "I sat there and I closed my eyes, kind of locked down on it. They got stronger and got stronger and got stronger. And right there in math class in public school, Lord fell on him. He said, I couldn't take it no more, and I put my hands up. Started talking in tongues. Power of the Holy Ghost moving on me. Math teacher didn't know what was wrong with him. Called the nurse. And they gathered him up and took him down to the nurse's station right there by the principal's office. Brother Doug was doing some landscaping on the side for make a living. Said, "I got a phone call. I was underneath a bush putting mulch down. I got a phone call." And as the principal of the school, "Is this Pastor Chapman?" "Yes, sir." It's like, "I need you to come down to the school." And Brother Doug said, "I could hear in the background what I was going for." Brother Doug said, "I got down there and the principal was waiting on me in the hallway." Said, as soon as he saw me, he directed me into the nurse's station and said, I walked in there and I see my 12-year-old boy from my church sitting in the chair with his hands up, tears rolling down his face, speaking in tongues. And right beside him in the chair, there's the nurse, another backslider out of that church. She's knelt down on the floor, crying and praying through to salvation, all because there was a young person that got in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. Hey, that little boy's alms turned into amazement. There's some of you right now, you got problems that you don't know what you're going to do with. I tell you, if you get in the power of the presence of God, God can make all the difference. And he'll fix a lot of the problems you don't know how you're going to fix. And he'll help you through the ones that he's going to help you through. If you can get in the right place, right time. Y'all want to play something? I'm done. You know, my altar call is right, real simple. This old boy, this story, you know, he could have shrugged off. He could have shrugged off the preacher's hand trying to help him up. He said, I don't want you to help me stand up. I'm lame. I just want a piece of money. And the preacher went in. He wouldn't have got help. You know, he said, silver and gold have I none. He took him by the hand and responded to the drawing of God. That's where we're at right now. Holy Ghost is in here and he's drawing you in your trouble. He's drawing at you in your depression. He's drawing on you in your problems and the things you can't get out of. He's wanting to know if you're willing to come. Let him help you. Come on, young folks. How about it? You're facing pressure. You're facing trouble. What you need to do is you need to run to the altar and say, Lord, I sense that you're here and this is the right place and I need help. There's some coming. Is there any more? You know, you need God. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need to deliver you from the power of sin. Step on out. Come on up here. Pray how you feel comfortable. Say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your strength. Come on now. Come on, young folks. Young men, young women, talk to the Lord. Here I am, Lord. I need what you have. Come on, church folks, prayer warriors.
Right now.
Let's get in here and help them. Let's create an atmosphere with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, to Jesus.
Have his way.
Do whatever it takes to get to Jesus.